We'll continue. We are on chapter 5, page 35, the paragraph titled, Why Do I Have Negative Thoughts? We all think that we know who we really are. Do we? How untrue and what a delusion we all live with. The best source to find out who we really are at this moment is to ask our conscience. Our conscience is that part of the mind that allows us to separate and truly know what is good from what is wrong. We know what is virtuous for us all the time, yet we feel enticed by what people call the devil. Our devilish thoughts take over us so quickly that we do not even realize that we are in the throngs of the devilish mind. To really know the true us, the divine self, the supreme being, we have to first start by acknowledging that there are devilish thoughts. What if we really examine these thoughts fully, down to their core? Through self-inquiry, we will get the answer that there is actually nothing called a good thought or a devilish thought. Thoughts are just thoughts. You are just a witness to your thoughts. At the level of the self, you are just witnessing a good or a bad thought coming across a movie screen in your mind. The more you are able to bring some space between yourself and your own mind, the less you are identified with the thoughts. Slowly but surely, with our identification now with the self, we are able to purify our minds, and then we only have divine thoughts. Because divine thoughts are our true nature. Let us now investigate the types of thoughts that our devilish mind makes us go through, and henceforth we lose touch with our own nature. To know more about thoughts, we need to understand the cycle of why thoughts arise in the first place. A thought is given strength because of our desires. These desires arise because of sense organs, which are stimulated by the external objects that we feel, see, smell, hear, and or touch. These sense organs get inundated with responses. As we begin our journey, we start to recognize that our own desire to acquire and then own the object of our sense organs, that is the external percept, makes us feel complete. However, this source of pleasure remains transitory. The moment that I experience anything through my senses, I suddenly feel incomplete again. Pleasure is ephemeral, while the source is eternal. Having a desire is not bad. It is the craving for these objects that bring in selfish thoughts, and these selfish thoughts themselves are the devilish thoughts. It is so simple, yet it might be difficult to initially accept on this path of self-discovery. If you look at it more closely, then you realize even good thoughts, like to do good to others, is also a bit of a subtle egocentric desire, as any thought that one might have still have some component of selfishness. In our impure hearts, when we think we are doing something good for others, such as preparing food for the soup kitchen, we are still having a subtle desire that we want some form of recognition from our family or friends, like, look, I am doing such a noble act. However, when we really start examining our thoughts regularly, and with the grace of the Supreme Being, the extent or the grossness of the selfishness starts to become thinner and thinner. It is only through self-inquiry, that is, by asking myself, who am I, will we be able to reach to the conclusion that we are not the body, nor our mind, including it positive and negative thoughts. We are not even the desires that cause the thoughts. We are the self, the divine pure form, which has no expectations or desires. As we read further through this book, we will be able to realize that our nature is pure, just pure love. In that state of love, we are just existing. We are aware of the changing world, yet we are unchanging. We are just the pure bliss of peace, joy, and love. We summarized in our room that these devilish thoughts are nothing but wish to acquire an object. It could be as simple as the new iPhone or the next Tesla model or whatever your object of desire is. And for people who are not grown enough in the spiritual path, they might even do deceit, lie, hurt, harm anyone to try and get to their object of desire. Most of us, thankfully, are not in that state. A higher state of being associated with a desire but not being affected by it is that our desires are directing us towards an activity which is helpful, at least to me, my family, and overall to society as well. So I'm doing something for the sake of others, not necessarily me. An even higher state of a desireful thought could be I'm doing it just because for the sake of God. But even at the back of my mind, I'm still wanting something from God, something from the divine to make me feel, hey, I'm your devotee, give me something. I'm letting go of my thoughts, but at least elevate in my energy, elevate in my thinking. But that's also a desire. When we finally realize from our own method of self-inquiry, who am I? Then I'm letting go of that thought as well. Because what is love? Love is no thought. It's a state of thoughtlessness where we just feel one. There is no thought in bliss. Bliss is just bliss. Wanting bliss is a great desire, but for nothing but enlightenment. Retain that desire alone. Only that desire. Rest, give it again and again, surrender to the divine, and the divine will relent. But you have to remember this very pure knowledge that you have to surrender every thought, every desire, every feeling to reach that supreme level of bliss. This is the end of our session today.